Good morning. Look what the wind blew in this morning. Is there anybody affected by that wind? Anybody have any traffic issues? Anybody stuck in traffic? Any trees down? Huh? Your roof? Oh, man, we got to pray for that. You got insurance there, right? All right. So if y'all like, you know, are on Facebook or you read some of the news out there, you know, there was we had a celebrity come through our town and got treated to Jumbo Jimmy's, and they opened their house up and were very hospitable. You know, so that's one story, but there was many stories like that, you know, and that's the cool thing about this county. I think there's a lot of great people here, you know, open their hearts up. They open their houses up to people to stay there and use their bathroom and give them water. And, you know, so yeah, you know, famous celebrity buys you little extra perks. But, you know, I think overall people are good. And that's what the song's about. You know, the song we're going to sing, it's called Hold Us Together. You know, it's all about love. And, you know, and I think this county is just awesome for that. You know, we hear all the bad things, but there's a lot of great things out there. And I want to hear more of that. So let's stand up this morning as we lift up our praises to our Lord.
It don't have a job. gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. And love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. And I'll be my brother's keeper, so the whole world will know that we're not
continue to worship the Lord here today and just have God speak to you just about who He is and who you're. And just today we're going to just talk. We're talking about unusual once again. And today we're going to just talk about unusual communication. Just let God speak to you in a way that maybe He never has before. Just open your heart and your mind.
Nothing good in me. You are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. When my fear is crippling, you are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting.
Thank you.
we've had a crazy week around here, God. But as Wayne was mentioning, that it is great to see that that people do care about others. I'm sure some of us who were in traffic probably look, and some weren't so caring, but that's okay. God, I just thank you for bringing everyone here today, bringing them safe, and just God, just when we saw just in creation, just the wind, it just reminds me of how powerful your Spirit is. So God, we just ask that Spirit just blow into our lives here today and empower your church. For anybody who is just in the sound of my voice, God, maybe people who just don't know you, maybe people who are struggling from a broken heart or something else. And God, right now, I just ask for your healing, your restoration to be upon your people. We love you, and just fill this place with your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, at this time, our children are going to head to our Sunday school, Shoreline Ministry, and everybody else, look at somebody and say hello. All right. I said say hello, not tackle people. That's all good. That's okay. We'll forgive you, Lisa. All right. Good morning. That's a church greeting, right? Good morning. We all got to do that 50 times. But we're glad that you are here. Welcome, everyone, to Haven Community Church. If you are visiting for the first time, hopefully you received a card. If you have that card, thank you, not this one. But if you have a card, you want to go ahead and hand that in, fill that out, hand it in. We have a small gift for you back here if you want to go ahead and receive that. It's awesome. I made it myself. Remember that Joey Susan commercial, you old people like me? Like, yeah, I made it myself. Now, I didn't make anything, so it's good. But if you, we're just thankful that you're here. If you're watching for the first time, Church Online, let's welcome Church Online. All right, you could be here Facebook Live or through the app or some other means. We want to welcome you. Please just send us a note. Let us know that you're here and that we're glad that you're watching. But again, we're just glad you're here. First thing, if you're visiting, just relax. We want you to have a good time. We want God to speak to you and just to have a good time in fellowship with him. All right, you can read those other informations. A new men's group is starting this Tuesday. So you can see it is called Liking Jesus by Craig Groeschel. And anyone can join us. Jake Allen has his information in there. If you others, if you want to contact him, please go ahead and do so. Anybody knows Craig Groeschel, pastor of LifeChurch.world or whatever it is now. He's an awesome guy, a great teacher, just a great heart, and a great pastor. So I'm excited about the men's group. You have to be a man, right? So that's why it's called men's group. But that's okay. The women are doing their own thing too. It's awesome at the same night, so you can have all those kind of things. Okay, you have another insert in here, right? Everybody see this? Go ahead, look at that bulletin thing. I'll pull this out. Believe it or not, it's getting closer. March 18th. So March 18th, which is a couple weeks away, we are going to celebrate our 10th anniversary. We are a decade old now. Haven Community Church is, and we want to have a celebration of that. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a church service, our normal church service, and then we are going to go down to the Northeast Fire Hall for a meal and a celebration. And if you're here for the first time and you say, that sounds cool, go ahead and fill it out today and drop it in. We really kind of want to get an RSVP account today. If you get home and you lost your brain, that's okay. We'll slide you in. But really, don't do that if you can't. But again, we want everybody to attend. Even like I said, if this is your first Sunday, you say, hey, these people don't look that weird. The minister's a little bit weird, but that's okay. We'll go ahead. We'd love to have you. And if you really want to get to know people, sit and eat with them, right? Anybody ever notice that? So we'd love to have you come and eat with us that day. So please fill that out today. If you will. If you're online, again, if you couldn't be here today, go ahead and send that in. You can send it in to info@havencc.org. That's info@havencc.org.
and we'll go ahead and have you connected there. One of the other things that we want you to do is a survey went out this week, and you can also see the link to that. We just every so often we love to hear what people in the church and look at this as their church think and are interested in, and it helps us as leadership team and me as a pastor to kind of look at those things a little bit more. And so you can see that survey. We really like to have that. The deadline is Tuesday, March 13th, and so we really love to have everyone go ahead and fill that out and connect to that as well. Painting volunteers, grab your old paint bucket, because it's on St. Patrick's Day, and at 10 o'clock in the morning, we're going to do some painting around the church. So if you'd like to help with painting, go ahead and show up here at 10 o'clock. You can also contact at trustees@havencc.org if you would like to. Parish Foundation, Mike has fundraiser tickets for the Parish Foundation, which you can see that'll be on March 24th at the Elkton Moose Lodge from 7 to 11. And Mike, wave your hand back there. He has those, and you can, if you're online, you can check out some other information there. Mission team meeting will be after church. Primarily, the Haiti mission is what's going to be the Haiti mission team is going to be talking, and it's the first meeting after church today. So, if you are an applicant or a current approved member, please make sure to stay after at Classroom A. Right? I think that's A. Is that A? Yeah, I forget A and B. I still remember L, left hand makes an L, so this is who you're talking to up here, all right? So go ahead and plan on being involved there. Miriam's Table, okay, the bread banks, love loaves, whatever you want to call them, this is the final week. Today is our last day. If you forgot it, I know some of you did, we won't call you out, but Jesus knows. So go ahead, and you can go ahead and make contact and bring them in. And we're doing well, but we can always do even better. If you want to go ahead and support that, it's a great opportunity. And you can do it online as well. So there you go. We have all kinds of ways to do that. Okay, flip over. Here we go. Lots of stuff going on. Parish Foundation dinner. We serve every month at the Parish Foundation. As you can see, the date of Parish Foundation this year is the 18th, when we're also celebrating our 10th anniversary. So what they've decided to do is they are going to go ahead and purchase pizzas from Pat's for the Parish Foundation. So if anyone would like to donate toward that, you can go ahead and do so for that evening. Okay, there we go. Got all that out. Are there any other announcements? Jen? Who's? Kelly's got a birthday. All right, happy birthday. Any other birthdays, anniversaries? Just throw your hands up. Throw your hands up. Okay, all right. Well, we're grateful for birthdays. Also, we got any other hands? Yes? Here we go. Let's check. We did this before. Who's interested in Christmas in April? Yeah, okay, there you go. All right, so I love when we do that. I just went through a list of a billion things and then throw something else and people say, sure, I love it. That's awesome. So great job, church. So, all right, our prayer list. I have one prayer concern here from Joanne Edwards. Joey's caregiver is in the hospital with bronchitis, so pray for healing. Again, we want to pray for anyone who was involved in any tragedies over this week with the wind and the storms and things like that. We also want you to lift up the name of Ray Price, who passed away very suddenly from Rising Sun. He was in his 80s, but we have his funeral later today, so please pray for his family as well. We also want to lift up the family of Florence Kidd. Many of you know Jeannie Logan, who used to be our youth leader here. Her mother passed away very suddenly, and anybody knew Florence, she was definitely a woman of God and just a wonderful lady. And so I got the opportunity in Israel to go on a nature walk with her. We didn't think it was, but the guide said it's just a little nature walk, and it ended up being like you were going across creeks and everything. And she was in her 70s, I think, at the time. So she's an awesome lady, and we're just thankful for her life. So please lift Jeannie and Royce and the rest of the family in your prayers. All right? Anyone else to add to our prayer list? Oh, yeah, Rachel. Okay. Okay, how about that? Jordan, her son-in-law, it's his last day of chemotherapy, hopefully, and it is also his 25th birthday. So we thank God for that birthday gift, all right? Carol.
My brother-in-law, Harry, does not
Okay. Okay, her brother-in-law, Harry, does not have that methotheli word, and we're thankful to God that I don't have to pronounce it, but and we're also thankful to God that he doesn't have it. Yes, anybody else? Yes. Okay. Okay. So pray for the Criddle family, definitely do that. All right, any others? Yes, Mike. Okay, for a youth group, Lisa.
More, seamstresses
for the angel gown? Or seamsters. Tailors. Tailors or seamstresses for her the gowns that she makes for the ones that decease, is that right? For the babies that pass away in hospitals. If you're interested in that and you sew, go ahead and see Lisa. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, once again, just so grateful for all that you do in our lives. And so, God, as we lift up the numbers of people who are struggling with all kinds of things in life, struggling with health illnesses and other kinds of things like that, people who struggle with addiction, people who are facing in some cases that are experiencing an extra special birthday present here today that it's maybe their last chemotherapy. Session for those who have experienced loss of a life well lived, and others who have dealt with a life that so suddenly seems to be taken from us. Whatever it may be, God, we know that you know all things, and you love each of us. So, God, right now I just want to lift up all the prayers that we've given before. But God, right now I just ask that you search our hearts. God, I pray that you search my heart. That I know that there are times when I fail you. I know there's just times when I'm not being the servant that you would want me to be. Yet you love me unconditionally, and you sent your son Jesus to live and to suffer and to die. And God, it's not just this far removed thing, but that I can have a personal relationship with him. And through that, you said, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So God, in whatever situation we're going in life, may we just run to you, into your arms. That's what we're talking about. And I just get the feeling that right now, around this room and watching online, that there are some people that just need to have their daddy just pick them up in his arms and just wrap your ever-loving arms around us and love us. God, we've been so blessed. So blessed. So God, help us to continue to be a blessing to you. May you take these gifts, not for our kingdom. This is not about Haven Community Church. That's just a name that you gave to me many years ago. It's about the kingdom of God. Change hearts, change lives. God, do your will. Get us out of the way if you need to, but ultimately, make your name higher and higher. Put your blessing on these gifts and offerings. Multiply and use them here and around the world to do that will. In your name, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Your mercy and strength be seen.
to your purpose as angels understand. For your glory may you draw men as your love and grace demands. And I will run to
Our scripture today is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, the New American Standard Bible. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The word of the Lord.
Show that with the kids and you guys would be good to go home, right? So we are in week three of our series on relationships called Unusual. Yes, I want to break into Tom Jones. It's not unusual. Yes, I do, because I relate songs to everything. My self-diagnosed ADHD makes me want to sing that, so you'll forgive me. But again, here we are in week three. Our verse today that has been the theme verse of this, what we're talking about is that In the world, we deal with relationships in a certain way, and it's become the usual way to deal with relationships. However, I'd say many of us, if we're honest, may have some issues with our relationships over the years. Has anybody ever had an issue with a relationship over the years? Anyone? Okay, the people who don't have their hands up, liar. So, but we all have certain things in relationships. But God tells us there's a better way. And that's really what this Christian life is about. There is a better way. We talked about unusual love. Last week we talked about unusual commitment. And today we're going to talk about unusual communication. And let's look at our verse here today. I have it up on the screen. It comes, and it's also in your bulletin. It comes from the New Living Translation. And it says, do not copy the behavior and customs of the world. I could do a whole sermon series on that, right? Not copying the behavior and customs of the world. But let God do what? What's that word? Transform you into a new person by changing the way you do what? Think. Remember in one of our first series of the year, we started talking about that you cannot make a change in your life until you think differently. That there's got to be a transformation in your mind first. And the cool thing is God never asks you to do something without first transforming you to be able to do that task. And give you the ability to change. Then you will learn to know what God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Because what religion says, here are the rules, make it work, and figure it out and do it, right? And what God says is, let me share some principles with you, and then let me do a change in you and empower you to do so. And now then you can be able to do them, not alone. You cannot do this on your own. Religion often tells us, hey, here's the rules, figure it out, do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit in order to do that. So God wants to transform you. And so today what I'm going to do is I'm going to share, as I've been doing every week, some principles from God. We're going to allow God to speak to you in your heart and your mind and do a change. And then you're going to do them. And I am so glad to be here today to give you this message because I have to struggle with this all week. You get this time here on Sunday to deal with it. I deal with this all week and it's not fun. I will tell you, it is not fun, particularly on this one. And you will then find out what God's will is. And what is His will? His will is what? Good, pleasing, and perfect. How many of you would love to have all your relationships be good, pleasing, and perfect? How many of you would love to have your marriage be good, pleasing, and perfect? How many of you would love to have your relationship with siblings good, pleasing, and perfect? How many of you would love to have a relationship with your boss or your coworkers good, pleasing, and perfect? All right. So how many of you would love one more time to have every relationship that you have be good, pleasing, and perfect? All right. Some of you just will never raise your hand. I don't get it. Okay. Okay. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about our words. All right, and I got to tell you, this is one of the most convicting messages I've ever given. I speak for a living, and I'm good at speaking for a living, but I'm also good at being bad at speaking for a living as well. I know how to speak. If I ever use my forces for evil, look out, right? If you look in our world, there are things that we relate to, and there's things that we say because, as that verse says, we have copied the behavior and customs of the world around us. And we find it to be okay. If you look at news or so-called what we talk about news and social media today, we end up having these comments that everybody makes their own comments in their own news. I was looking the other day at a YouTube video. And how many of you ever looked at a YouTube video? Okay. How many of you maybe stumbled on it by mistake? Okay. How many of you have ever journeyed down and decided to read the comments underneath some of these videos? Don't. You will sin right away. I will let you know. It will be you've stepped from. It could be a video of that little kids playing with dogs, and there's some evil person that wants to say some of the most evil things I've ever heard. Anybody seen that? Some of them are very funny. I will give that to them. They're very creative. However, everybody has. It's amazing the number of people who go ahead and just love to dismiss people that they don't even know. How many of you were stuck in that traffic the other night? How many of you constantly for 7 hours thought of just holy thoughts? All right, how many of you, when somebody was trying to squeeze in or go on the shoulder to squeeze in, you just said, hallelujah, praise God, go ahead of me? No one. How many though, when you went up and you were trying to get in, you gave them that puppy dog look like, please, please let me in, please, can I go in? And they give you this like, I don't see you. I don't see you at all. And then every once in a while, you may have a little kid that's in the passenger side that looks over and goes, and you go, and they go, Mom. And they go, like that, right? The way we communicate is so interesting. And so what I want to do today is I want to share some levels of communication. We're going to begin by sharing four levels of communication. I didn't make them up. They're out there. You can find them. I did research on it, believe it or not, and I found it. But so we're going to go through several of those, and then we're going to go ahead and see some barriers or walls to communication, and then we're going to say the unusual way of communicating, what God gives to us, okay? That's where we're going today. Everybody good? Shake your head and communicate with me like that's good, okay? So here we go. First thing that we're going to look at is the first level of communication that we have is this, surface level. We have surface communication, and we are all really good at this. It's where we see somebody and we go, hi, how are you? And they go, fine. Now, really, we don't care how anybody feels, right? How are you doing? And if you want to mess with people today, when they say, hi, how are you? Say, well, I've had this backache. And I tell you, I've been to the doctor, and you start talking to them, you will see somebody panic like they haven't in years. They don't want it to. They don't care. Look at the person next to you and say, I don't care. All right? So, because that's what happens. We don't. We even do that non-verbally. We do that non-verbally all the time. We see somebody that we don't know. We'll be walking down the hallway, and we'll go, right? Why? We don't care. We just, right? We do not care. Surface level, we are really good at this. It is cliches. It is superficial. And a lot of our communication stays in the superficial or the surface level. And I got to tell you, it seems like the more avenues we have of communication, like texting and social media and all kinds of things, it seems the more we stay in this surface level of communication that we exist in here. Number two, here's the next one. So if some of the times we graduate to this next one, and this is general information. And I will dare say that many marriages are in this general information level. And many families, for instance, that you see them, and here's your discussion during the day. Okay, I need to talk to you. The kids have a game tonight. The other ones need to be a ballet. The other ones have to go to the truant officer. You know what happened there. And I've got to work out after class today, and I'm not going to be home till about 7. Okay, love you. Boom. Right? Or you see the kids. You're like, hey, Dad. Hey, Daddy. Yeah. Can I have some money? No. Okay. Right? That's general information. Hey, I'm going to such and so, and you just pass basic information back and forth. It's info, but you don't go any deeper than that. For real communication, you have to go deeper. And man, I'm going to give you some of the most powerful words, the most powerful loving words that you could ever express to your wife. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Here it is. Let me count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 words that you need to know. It'll make you the most loving person in the world. And here it is. And then what happened? After she passes out on the floor from you wanting to know what else happened, then you can continue the conversation. And then what happened, right? Because guys, usually we hear and we're like, how do I fix this? Okay? That's all we talk about. And then what happened is a good way to shock your spouse. Here we go. Next thing that we have to go, we got to go a little bit deeper. Let's dig a little bit deeper here. A little bit deeper. We need to have the next level of communication is deep values and feelings. Now, I will tell you, many of us exist in our feelings. Feelings are not always correct, but they are always real. Let me say that again. Feelings are not always correct, but they're always real. Ladies, have you ever had an irrational husband? They don't want to say. They're looking at you. Okay, yes. I know Melissa has. Our feelings are real. Many of us are driven by our feelings, and they may be wrong, but the fact is they are real to us. And many of us live lives where we don't have a safe place to express our feelings. We don't have that safe place. Now, I will tell you next week, I usually give it to you at the end, but next week our sermon is going to be unusual conflict, because one of the situations we have is that you can never have a relationship or a society without conflict. Conflict is not a bad thing. Conflict resolution is a good thing. And so next week, we're going to see how God tells us to relate to conflict. And one of the things that I think helps in somewhat of conflict is because sometimes our feelings are so real that the conflict becomes so magnitude because we think that that's the real situation where it may be wrong when what we really need to do sometimes is say, I don't know what the situation is, but I feel like this is what's going on. And once we express those feelings, then we can talk about that. And we can begin to say, like, that's when we can begin to say to people, like, for instance, many times we live this way when we're not right, we don't feel well, and we're just, like, something's off, and our feelings have us mixed up a little bit. And all of a sudden, it's the person who knows us, with our friend or spouse or someone says, are you okay? And we say, yeah, I'm fine. You're not fine. Your feelings are telling you you're not fine. Or we say, are you upset? You don't seem like yourself. You go, no, I'm good, right? That's not the right way to begin to express deeper feelings and emotions. So the next one, number four, deep needs and intimacy. Now this can get really, really scary here. When we share our deep secrets and also our wrongs, one of the biggest powerful things in relationship is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Have you ever done anything wrong to someone who you cared about? Anyone? I'm telling you, some people are never going to raise their hand. I could say, Jesus has taken everybody to heaven who raised their hand. You'll still sit there. But one of the things that we need to do, I think, that is powerful is confession. Confessing where we've wronged. Confession and forgiveness go hand in hand. And it allows us to share the deep intimacy that we are. Now, I'm going to shock you right now and tell you that this wonderful angelic being that stands before you here today is not really that way inside. I'll let you settle with that for a little bit, okay? There are things in my heart and in my mind that are not godly. There are things in my heart and my life that just have no place as a good husband, a good father, and a good human being. And they're there. And often what we do is we spend most of our lives trying to cover up those things rather than having somebody to turn to be able to share those deep needs and intimacy. One of the things that I've seen often in marriage counseling, and I've done this several times in over 22 years, is the fact that often when you have people who are having a struggle or a conflict in their marriage, if you ask them to go ahead and write down five needs of their partner, go ahead and write five things that your partner really needs. Time and time again, I have found in those situations that when I then say, okay, what are your needs? That the partner has no clue what the needs of their other partner is. They have no clue. And that's a place to start, that they haven't got to a level of deep intimacy and communication. And sometimes being vulnerable, well, I'm going to tell you, every time being vulnerable hurts, and it makes you open. And when you're real, and when you go deep into your needs and intimacy, it leaves you vulnerable in those situations. But when you have forgiveness and confession, there's something awesome that occurs. Strength comes from that. Look around the room right now. There is nobody here that's perfect. Nobody here is perfect at all. There is only one, and his name is Jesus. And he grants me forgiveness when I confess before him. The greatest relationships in the world need to understand each other's needs. Each other's needs. So what I want to do now is I want to shift gears a little bit. I'll give you their name, Dr. Howard Markman and Dr. Scott Stanley spent about 20 years researching relationships. And when they were researching these relationships, they said, let's look at the barriers or those walls to healthy relationships. And they came up with several of these that I want to share during this part of the message. The first one is this: withdrawal and avoidance. Withdrawal and avoidance. This is when there is a conflict or there's some situation and you shut down. You shut down emotionally or you stop physically. You say, I'm done. Okay, men, here's a great way to recognize that. Watch my eyes. Right? When you do that, you are already retreating. And, you know, like I know from being a guy, I can't speak for ladies because I'm not one, but one of the things that I do recognize is that when guys argue with guys, there's kind of like some unspoken rules. Right, guys?
Right.
You just grunt for me, okay? So there are some unspoken rules that we have with that. When you argue with your spouse who knows you better than you know yourself, there ain't many rules, are there? And it isn't fair. And they know me better than, she knows me better than I know myself. And so she knows what's wrong with me, and I can try. I want those rules back. Guys, we aren't going to pry too often, are we? They will go ahead right to the heart of what we need, what they need to hear. But we avoid, if we avoid with other guys or we withdraw, we don't care, do we? If Wayne withdraws, I'm not going to go, Wayne, please talk to me. No, he's going to go, right? So, but what we do, we shut down in our relationships time and time again. We shut down emotionally or physically. And then we end up in the silent treatment. Anybody played the silent treatment game? Silent treatment game is when you're so mad and you got to win, right? And you got to go like this. Or you just... And if you have to go to bed in the same way, you got to get all the way over and you can't get like a heel touch because then you lose. You got to be in fetal position on the side of the bed and fight for the covers, right? You who are laughing, I know you've been there, okay? So you do that time and time again and you never want to lose. And there's a story of a couple who had gotten into an argument and they went to bed. And the husband needed to get on a plane, and he needed to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. But he didn't want to lose the silent treatment in the argument. So he wrote a note for his wife and put beside her end table at her bed and said, I need to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning so I don't miss my flight. Please wake me up. He went to bed, and the next thing he knows, he wakes up, and it's 9:30 in the morning. He missed his flight, and he was livid, and he looked down on his nightstand, and it said, it's 5 a.m., get up. Okay, that's good. You got to admit that's good, right? You are not going to win this battle, gentlemen. You're not going to win, all right? All right, that is good. You got to admit that. That's good. All right, so I gave ladies a whole bunch of other ideas, didn't I? So we got to watch withdrawal and avoidance. Number two, escalation. Escalation. This is when the tempers get flaring, where we start to use negative comments and we start to, this is where we start to bring, you know, this is like we go back into our bag of tricks and we start to bring out things that are hurtful and painful to one another. The researchers in this called this the snowball effect, that when you start rolling it around a little bit, pretty soon you're dealing with a mountain of snow. What, they've actually done research on this. I find it fascinating. They have determined that men, when they get into an argument, when their heart beats at 100 beats per minute, they lose all ability to reason. They have actually figured that. And ladies, as they say, I told you, right? But this is one of the things that they have found. When we escalate, we start to just get to a point of hurt. And we do that in all of our relationships, not just in marital relationships. We do these in many ways. The next one is this, number three. Invalidation or belittling. This picks up right where escalation lets off. This is where we begin to put down thoughts or feelings or actions that another person finds worthy and that they find their value and worth in. We begin to belittle them or put down what's important to that partner or someone else. We start to cut down people and devalue them and what they love and care for. And what this, where does this center on, you say? How can people get to this point? It centers on an avenue where the fact is that we all deal with our own insecurity. And so when we end up in an area in an argument or some kind of conflict, when we are insecure, we can't rise ourselves up, so we want to bring others down to where we are. Something that happens time and time again. Like, for instance, there was a couple, a married couple that was driving around, and they had been in an argument, and they were at this point of escalation where they had said several different things. And as they're riding along, they look, and they look, and there's a farm, and in the farm there were pigs and hogs and cows and goats, and the husband wanted to give a dig at her, and he said, look, relatives of yours? And she said, yes, in-laws. Okay. I tell you, you're not going to win. You're not going to win at all. But we do that time and time again. We love to put people down in order to bring them down to the level that we feel. Remember, I said feelings are not true, but they're real. And so if we feel this insecurity, we don't like to have the feeling that we're insecure, and so we want to try to bring others down to us as well. And let's look at this last one. This last one here is a false belief. False belief. Into this area, this is where we actually get into Satan's playground. And you may say, what? I mean, you could even say that this is where we get into demonic activity, where Satan's forces are at work. Because in John chapter 8, which I don't have in your bulletin, but if you want to look at that, in John chapter 8, it tells us the devil is the father of all lies. And if Satan is the father of all lies, and we get into this false belief area, and we start to create lies in our mind, and it destroys our relationship, which is exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to destroy every positive relationship you have. And it says he's a roaming lion seeking whom he may devour, and he is a liar. And if you start believing lies, then and it destroys your relationship, we are actually right in the middle where Satan has his playground. So what do we need to do? We need to take an unusual approach to communication. And the Bible has a lot to say. As a matter of fact, you could start in the book of Proverbs and see tons of them, which we'll mention some of them today. Jesus himself was speaking at a point before our verse today, and he talked about one of the worst, or what people have called the unforgivable sin, and blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And so by Jesus saying that, what we find out is the worst sin possible is done through communication, where we blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It is done through our mouths. So after that, Jesus said this statement, which was read for us today from Mark chapter 12, verse 36 through 37, about the power of our words. You know, we used to have that sticks and stones may break my bones, but names or words will never hurt me. And it's just the opposite. Sometimes words and statements and names and things that we say have wounds that are so deep they stick with us for our entire lives. And so let's look at this from the Message version, because Jesus says this. Jesus tells us that every word that we ever say, we're going to have to take account for in front of the Father. That in other words, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a big television screen with Jack and his words shown. And I'm not comfortable with that. I hope you are in line. I hope you're in line ahead of me and get through before you see mine. But what we see is what it says here. Let me tell you something. Every one of those careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time, or actually a day of reckoning. There's a day when you will give account for that. Words, and Jesus says, words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation, or they can be your damnation. Jesus said that. Wow. And, you know, see, it's usual just to throw around whatever we want. And I'm equally as guilty. Believe me, I told you, I can't wait to get this sermon done with. But then I got to live by it. And that's the hardest part. Because I know that I'm not always productive with the words. I know that sometimes there's a lot of damnation coming out of my mouth and not a lot of salvation. And so there's going to be a day that I'm going to give account of every word that I've said unless I've gone to Jesus and been forgiven for that. Isn't that awesome that you have forgiveness for those things? You see, we are a product of the words that have been spoken over us over the years. Some of you who may experience severe, severe mental abuse, you're living with those words even here today. Some of you are living with the lies that you're telling yourself day in and day out. Some of you are struggling in the midst of what the world you've created around you by what others have said to you and what you have believed. You know, it's really interesting that in the book of Genesis, Jesus spoke the world into existence. With everything, nothingness existed, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And so what we end up seeing is that in order to be like, to grow to be like God and to be more like Christ, that our words need to have power of creation in them, not of destruction that exists in them. God spoke into existence, and our world, words create the world around us. For instance, I am grateful for those coaches that spoke well to me. When I think of Richard Bowers, who many of you know, who was my coach for years and years and years, I thank God he was not like the other ones. All right? Some of you understand that. I thank God that he encouraged me, he joked with me, and yet he built me up. I thank God that I had a grandmother, particularly a maternal grandmother, who no matter how old I was, spoke awesome things. I could give us the same sermon every week, and she'd say, that's better than the one you gave the week before. All right? I thank you for parents who spoke who spoke prophetically over me. I got to tell you, there's times in my life where I wasn't totally living this Christian life. I wanted to run from the calling of God. And I can think of people that God put in my way that spoke prophetically on me. When I knelt at an altar in Christ United Methodist Church in Fredericksburg, and I had people that would come up to my father and come up to me and say, I saw Jesus' hand on him in different places in there. Try to live with that one. It ain't fun when you're about a teenager. But they continued to speak it to me when I saw them. I thank God for a lady named Ellie Quick, who when I was going to go ahead and do work and then figure this pastoral calling on me, she would not leave me alone every week after church. I just slid in late and wanted to get out early. And Ellie would say, Jack, come here. You need to pray for this person. I'm like, I don't want to pray for this. You need to pray for this person. And she called me Pastor Jack long before I ever was one. She spoke prophetically over me. My great-grandmother, from the point that my father was a little kid, always called him her little preacher. You see, when you speak prophetically over people the word of God, it speaks the word of creation and life into people. The Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw made this statement. It's on the front of your bulletin if you see it today. The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. So many of us say, well, we've talked, and you find out that you talk at a surface level or a general information, and we really haven't gotten to a deeper area. And so for the remainder of this time, I want to share with you, again, I didn't make them up, they're out here, 7 areas where we can positively speak purpose and intention into other people's lives. And these are modeled to us through Scripture and the relationship that I believe God wants us to have. Everybody good? Okay. All right, here we go. Number one is praise. Speak highly of someone's qualities. Find something good and speak life into that person. Not just the negative. So many of us often, me included, speak at the negative. When my kids mess up, I constantly harp on them and drive them crazy, don't I? Yes. Has your room clean? Okay. All right. Just checking. All right. So, but how many, we do those things constantly. We point out what is missing rather than the fact of what is there. That I'm proud of my kids. I'm proud of the young men and women that they have become. I'm proud that they love Jesus. I'm proud that more than importantly than them being my children, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm proud that although we joke about Judah all the time and how he cries at the drop of a hat, he has a tender heart and loves people. Right? I'm glad that Hannah keeps us on our toes all the time. And she has a big heart. And she also has a stiff foot that can kick you in the rear end as well. I love all my children. I could go through each one of them. Not going to, sorry. I'm just thrilled that they are my children, that God has entrusted them to me. And yes, there will be times where I will be negative, but the one thing that I want them all to know is that their father loves them dearly. I love them immensely, and I'm proud of who they are becoming and who they become. You need to speak that to people. You don't only need to just speak that to your children. Speak it to other people. Speak it to them all day. Look at what Proverbs 25, verse 11 says. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. In other words, that's like when you go to dinner today, that you sit down and somebody has thrown a silver platter there with a solid gold apple. You're going to go cast that sucker in, aren't you? In other words, what it's telling us is our words need to have 2 things. Our words need to be beautiful and also need to have value. That's that creative power of our words. They need to be beautiful. We need to say beautiful things, and they need to have value to one another. They need to add value to people. What the world tells you you are is not who God believes you are. So you need to discover in the person what you can pass on and speak value to other people in life. You are too busy not to speak beauty and value to other people, particularly young people. Children and youth ministry. Many of us feel like children and youth ministry has passed us a long, long time ago. But I'm going to tell you, as long as you have breath and life, God has given you an experience that you need to speak creative life into the young people today, because they're hearing a different voice from the world. And only you can speak it. If the church is not speaking value and beauty to the youth of today and the young people today, then who is? No one. If you want an experience, go ahead and sit in the nursery on your rear end and talk to those kids and speak beauty and value into them. Go ahead and go on a youth retreat and you will be exhausted, but you can speak beauty and language. When they're walking around here, just tell them, man, I am so proud that you're here and I'm glad that you're a daughter of the king or a son of the king. Just speak value into people's lives. We don't know what people are going through in their own homes and in their own schools. Speak life to someone today. Number two, we have praise. Number one, number two, thanksgiving. We need to be more grateful in life. We need to say thank you. Everybody say thank you. And I'm not saying don't do it at a surface level, like thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, like that. I'm saying like really craft your thanks. Like for instance, if you go out to eat dinner after this today, you have a waiter or waitress that may be a single mom or dad, or they may just be a kid that's trying to get some money to put gas in their car. You know what? Tell them, a cashier that has all the church people and all the people who finally got out that need water and everything else, they're not probably having a wonderful day and they're probably not loving what they do, but maybe if you just speak something good to them and thanksgiving and just tell them, hey, you know what? Thank you for being the greatest server I've ever had. I really appreciate you doing that. It doesn't take a lot of effort, does it? It doesn't take any at all. Give them a good tip, too, that relates to that. Don't just say you're the greatest server and give them a nickel, all right? Say thank you. I want you to say thank you 10 times today to somebody. And don't just rip them off now. That's surface level. Say thank you and really, really mean it today. Thank you. You're welcome. There we go. He looked at his mom and said, thank you. Atta, he wins. All right. So, but you know, one of the things that I thought was awesome is that some of you have done this, parents who put notes in lunches. I know Melissa's done that for years. She's put notes in lunches. And, you know, if you have a day where you don't have that, when dad packs, they don't get anything but money. But that's my thanks. Here you go. But those thank you notes are important. Like, you miss them when they're not there, right? And so what's that Melissa doing is just telling them how much she loves them and cares about them. It's good. You ever just get a little note from somebody? You know what notes are? They're like email, but they're real. You get a note, and it just makes you feel good. I know many people here for birthdays, anniversaries, illnesses have received from our card ministry here. I remember there was a lady named Catherine Gold. I know some people know Catherine. And Catherine was in one of the first churches I served. And Catherine was the card writer. And you know what? I get those cards for birthdays and anniversaries and stuff, and I was like, oh, that's great, that's great. And you say it aside. But then you know when I really missed it was when Catherine couldn't write them anymore. When she went on. That's when I really missed it. Just the power of who she was. Say thank you. Look at what it says here in Proverbs chapter 18. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The power of life and death. What is good is life. What is good is life. And then, listen to what it says in the final part. He who finds a wife finds a good and receives it. So what you need to do is just say, today, guys, here you go. Here's for this week, here's your task. Just someday, just come up to your wife and say, let me tell you just what is so great about you. And when she falls on the floor and after she wakes back up, you can have the rest of that conversation as well. All right? It's little effort to say thank you to someone and mean it. Number three, affection. Some of you may not even be able to bring the words to your mouth. I love you. There are terms of endearment are so special to say I love you. Some of you may have little names for each other. My Pookie Bear. My Sweetie Pie Sugar Lump. Or something else. Terms of endearment are special. And just to let you know, we need to embrace those. And some of us can't do that because of hurt that we've had. And you need healing in those areas. The reason why I say it's so important is because God does. Look at what God says here in Jeremiah. I have loved you. God says, I have loved you, my people. I have loved you so much with an everlasting love. With an unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. God says, I love you, Pookie Bears. You're the apple of my eye. God says, I love you so much. I love you so much. Tell somebody. And you know, some of you may need to start looking in the mirror and say, I got to learn to love you. I got to learn to love you so much. Number four, encouragement. Encouragement, this is easy to do. Find somebody who's discouraged and go encourage them. You just want to turn the frown upside down, right? You just want to go ahead and say, somebody who's down and feels bad, just encourage them with some good word. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Don't let, and I don't like this verse at all, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you raise your hand. You wouldn't anyway. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In other words, somebody used to tell me this. If you have nothing good to say, yeah, the same person told you, I get it, right? How many of you have lived life by that? No, but nobody better raise your hand on that one, okay? We are only supposed to speak, trying doesn't count, we are only supposed to speak what is good for building people up, what is beneficial in life. Man, that is such a tough statement. And it goes to the core of my heart when I realize some of the people I love the most, I have broken down the most with my words. You know, see, there are no neutral words. They either build somebody up or tear them down. It's one of the reasons that for some of the ones who weren't like Richard Bowers, the coaches, that I've always wanted to be a coach that was there for people. One of the biggest compliments I got was from a football team. They were talking about people with coaches, and they said, Coach Jack's like Dr. Phil. You can kind of tell him your problems. And I was like, what you need to do, you know, whatever. But to me, that means something to me. It means that I have 20-year-old men who will now come up to me and say, hey, coach, and give me a big hug and tell me. When I know there's some coaches in my 40s that I've seen, I've been like, ugh, right? You with me? Build people up. I remember having a conversation with a head coach one time and say, you know what? Bottom line is, we may not win the state championship. Bottom line is, we probably won't even make the playoffs if we're real. So we have an opportunity with captive young men here that we can do something for their lives. To me, that's more important than wins and losses. I like to win, don't get me wrong. When I'm in the heat of the battle, you're going to hear Jack acting like a fool. But when it's all said and done, I want to build them up. I want to love on them. Right? Number five, kindness. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. And years ago, I did a series on the fruits of the Spirit, and I told people to practice random acts of kindness. You go through, that was before Easy Pass, you go through a toll when you have to give people your money. And I've heard some horror stories of people who worked in toll booths of what people do to their money because they're disgusted they have to pay. Maybe sometime you just need to go through and you need to just tell them your appreciation. Maybe you have like a bottle of water you give to them or something. Maybe I've gone through before when you're going through a cashier and you look at the candy bars and the drinks and you say, gosh, what do you think is the best one here? Well, I like peanut M&Ms. You say, that sounds good. What drink do you think is good? And they're like, they really want to say, shut up, I don't care. And they tell you what they like the best, and then you put it up there and you ring it up and say, here you go, and you give it to them. It changes somebody's day. Kindness. Those people who let you in that traffic from hell the other day, that was kindness or guilt, one or the other. We've all said things that have hurt, and we need to change that. In Proverbs 15, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I'm going to tell you, you may get loud, you may get nasty, you may get violent, you may get whatever you want to be, and you may win the battle, but I guarantee you, you will eventually lose the war because it does more damage from there. Number six, everybody good still? Getting there. Number six, truth and love. Truth and love. Now, you may say at this point, Jack, all this stuff's lovey-dovey. What about the person who is wrong and is not doing well? You need to speak the truth in love. We need to tell what's wrong, but I'm going to tell you, you cannot change anyone. You can speak what is truth, but you cannot speak action to someone. They have to take that on their own. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, we will speak the truth in what? Love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. In John 1:14, the scripture tells us that Jesus was full of grace and truth. And if we are supposed to speak truth and love, then we must become more like Jesus. And we need to do the same thing as Christ. And here's what I want to share with you. Because here's what happens. If it's just truth without grace, you are mean. People sometimes, when people have done something wrong and we just hit them with truth, it hurts and it's just mean. Grace without truth is meaningless. If we just are lovey-dovey and accepting and lovey-dovey and lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey all the time, and there's no truth there, it's meaningless. Because guess what? You aren't going to change the behavior. You're not going to have a desire to look into the right behavior. So if truth without grace is mean, and grace without truth is meaningless, truth and grace is meaningful. And it is healing when you hear both of those. So I want you to put this in action this week. I want you to put all these things in action this week as we wind down in this last part. As the worship team comes up now, I got one more. Here we go. And I want you to hear it. When everything else that you have done, one of the greatest forms of communication you can possibly have is prayer. Pray. Whatever the situation is, sometimes the emotions are so big, you just need to look at somebody, at your spouse, or you just need to look at your friend, or you need to look at your children and say, let's pray right now. Let's just pray. Look at what the scripture says here in Psalms. It says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Some of you may not be ready to go pray with somebody else, but you need to just say, God, I got to pray with you. I got to get this situation to you in your hands. Because it says here, I keep my eyes always on the Lord, with him at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my, what, rejoices? My tongue rejoices and my body will rest secure. This communication thing's hard, isn't it? Isn't it? It's difficult. Because the world has told us there's one way we communicate, but God has given us an example of a way to talk in a totally different place with grace and truth. I'm going to ask that you stand right now. I'm going to ask that you just bow your heads as we just pray and go before the Lord right now. We have some people up front that will pray with you. We have some people who are going to do number 7. And they're going to pray with you. Bear with you together. So let's pray. Lord God, today, I know there are people here who have been devastated by others. They've been devastated by the words that were spoke over them. They've been devastated by the words that they believed in their own hearts and their own minds. And God, just let them know that that's not real. That's not true. That their feelings may be real, but it's not true. God, there are others of us, myself included here, who just ask for your forgiveness. I got a long list of words this week. I got a long list of conversations. I've got a long list in my head of things I wanted to say and some many times did say that were not creating, they were not saving, but they were destructive and they were damning. Forgive me, God. Forgive me for not opening my mouth with praise to you. As your scripture says, how can praise and curses come out of the same mouth? So God, right now, I just ask that you forgive me and anyone else in this room who may have said things that are not in accordance with your will. Let me be more intentional about my words that they may help build others up and not tear them down. Let me have praise and thanksgiving and encouragement and kindness and truth and thanksgiving. May speak truth and grace. Where I've spoken nothing but truth, God, let me have just a little bit of the ounce of grace that you have with me. See, I can't do any of this on my own. I'm going to constantly be a usual communicator in this world unless I rely on your Holy Spirit. So God, you've given me principles today, and I hope that everyone else here is opening their hearts and their minds to the transforming power of your Holy Spirit to come within us, to empower me to do this. Because God, there are people in my life that I see and I don't want to talk to because I got nothing good for them. Change my heart, God. My sin has been so bad that God, how could you ever want to talk to me, let alone love me so much as you do? So God, there are some others here that feel so far from you. Because of what they've done, because of what they've been told, because of situations and experiences. At one time, they felt so close, but they were let down by someone or something. And God, they're struggling right now to find you once again. But your word is clear that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts, we receive your salvation and your grace. So God, this altar is open here for you. It is for you and it's for us. And I just pray right now that the words that people hear, that they will hear the voice of God, that right now as we are speaking, that restoration is beginning to occur. First of all, in the heart and mind of the individual, but God, then I believe in relationships. This life is too short to deal with the nonsense that the world calls us to deal with. The way the world says it's always going to be. But we have a Savior, and His name is Jesus. And He says, you don't have to live this usual life, but one that is unusual. So this altar's open. God, do your thing. Holy Spirit, fill this place to overflowing, because we need you right now more than we ever have. To the person who's watching online, God, touch their hearts and tell them they are not who their parents said they are. They are not who their spouse told them they are, but they are your child, and they need to have your healing. For those of us who are here today, God, move in a mighty way. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
You, Lord. than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat,
more than anything.
Of God and never let him in to do the transformation. And nothing will change because our actions won't change. We need him. We need Jesus to come into our lives and our hearts. And you may have accepted Christ, but you may have made him your Savior, but you may have never let him be the Lord of your life. Our relationships will change only when Jesus becomes Lord. Only when he becomes Lord and begins. And it's still difficult. Amen? So if you're guilted right now, that's from the devil. The Holy Spirit convicts and loves and changes. Guilt is not of God. There's a rule of life. If you're ever guilted, it's not of God. He wants to change you. He loves you. You're his child. All right? So you have homework to take this with you and do all this week and come back and report to me. Not to me. It's about God and you. All right? And see if it doesn't change your relationships. Have an awesome week. Next week, unusual conflict. Have a good week.
This make us happy.